Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
It is no sin to be a Christian for sure, but I must confess at times it is rather inconvenient. It interferes with what you want to do. Your conscience condemns you. It refuses to let you do what you probably would have done had you not met him who said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." When Jesus called people, he interrupted their goals, their plans, their life works, and their consciences as well. The more they knew him, the more they came to understand that following him was not a part-time vocation, but an absolute, all-encompassing commitment. And that is why, on more than one occasion, some turned away and ceased to follow him. Why could not Christ have rallied the troops around something more attractive than a Roman gibbet where losers ended up and all hope was destroyed? Could his teachings not have been more esoteric? I mean, more talk about love and life, less about death and dying. God apparently thought not, because he gave his son, and from the cloths which became baby blankets to Golgotha where Jesus was crucified, the cross loomed on the horizon. And said Jesus, "If you are to follow me, you too must take up your cross." There is one difference, however, between what Jesus did and what he expects us to do. It's all found in the one word which Luke included. It is the word daily. That word shifts the location from a hill outside of Jerusalem to the front room of my house where I live. It becomes planted in the office where less than nice people annoy me, where I am forced to decide if something is unethical or immoral or just good business. Instead of one heroic go-for-it commitment, it becomes an ongoing series of decisions and judgments which change my lifestyle. John Henry Newman had this in mind when he wrote, "To take up the cross of Christ is no great action done once for all. It consists in the continual practice of small duties which are distasteful to us." In a very real and practical sense, taking your cross means you are no longer in control of your life or at liberty to decide some issues. Your morality is definitely at stake. The way you do business is an issue. Your language, your politics, your leisure, your money, even your time all become cross-related issues. Yes, taking your cross and following Jesus can be quite confining or restrictive. A man whom I have admired much, A.W. Tozier, in his book Of God and Men wrote, "The man with a cross no longer controls his destiny. He lost control when he picked up his cross. That cross immediately became to him an all-absorbing interest, an overwhelming interference." There's one more thought that I leave with you today. Biographies have always been of interest to me. I think it's from the desire to learn what qualities are found in the lives of godly people, which I can incorporate in my life, thus making me more effective for God. But here's my point. Never, whether it is in the memoirs of the great heroes of the faith or of little-known figures of history who were devout and committed, have I encountered anyone who came to the end and said, "I regret that I crossed the great continental divide of faith, drew a line in the sand and stepped across it, and took up my cross to follow Jesus." That friend has to say something loud and clear.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. Visit givetoguidelines.org and become a partner in sharing hope and encouragement in Christ with others around the world. That's givetoguidelines.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for Guidelines for Living.